for this opportunity. Thank you for shaping and molding me into what I should become. I don't think I'm there quite yet, but I'm so thankful to God that he has me here at the Stony Island Street Church of Christ, and this is where the saints meet on the first day of the week. It's good to see you here. Let's go to God in prayer this time, we will. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, we rejoice that you smiled upon us, giving us health, strength, and soundness of mind, that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we may gather together as dear children this first day of the week to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, with thanksgiving and singing, praying, communing, giving, and being taught the wonderful words of God. Be with us, Father, as be with me as I deliver this message. And be with the congregation as we feast upon the word. Let it be taken in, Father, with the grace in which you so wonderfully, Father, bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name we give praise and thanks. Amen. The sermon title this morning is Redeemed. The scripture reading to your hearing was from the book of Ephesians. That was one. What did you read from one? Oh, one and four. I have numerous scriptures I'm going to be going to, such as Acts 19 and 4, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. I'm going to address this morning the plan of salvation briefly, very briefly, to let us know who we are in Christ, walking in Christ, and faith to the end. I hope to bring that, make that perfectly clear. First, I'd like to say this is the Church of Christ that you're in. This is not a denomination, and those who don't understand, and those who actually forsake the assembly and think that it's insignificant where you go and worship, that we need to address God's word to have a better understanding as to what belongs to Christ, to be redeemed in Christ. It's important to understand that the church is the body of Christ. I hope to make that a little clear to us this morning and to give you an understanding. The purchase price presents the to say redeemed is to me, as far as Christ and his church. And so I'm going to read this very briefly. The purchase price presents the enterprise value of a company, including a value of its equity and depth. And so this is not some random place, this Church of Christ, this body of Christ. This is a place that Christ purchased. This is the church in which Christ purchased with his own blood. And that's very significant in understanding about your salvation, where you can be saved at, or where you should be worshiping at. We are so blessed to be the Church of Christ. We've been called. I'm going to stick with our scriptures and get through this, as I've been told to be timely and hope to learn to be timely. Thank you. Revelations 5 and 9, if I'll call your attention to that first, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people on the earth. And the verse 10 there in Revelation 5 says, and has made us into our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is a royal priesthood that we are in. We are a holy nation of people. This is the highest form on the face of the earth, the highest institution, the highest establishment. This is the Church of Christ. It's very important to understand that other than that, we could be led and should go anywhere we want. But I would think we'd want the best when it comes to our soul salvation and understanding, where could I go, as the song says, but to the Lord. To understand that. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were once lost, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We did not understand this salvation we have now in Christ Jesus, but through his death, burial in his resurrection, now this Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh, and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt how to be saved or know the will of God working in our lives. We are the Church of Christ. Ephesians 5 and 19, we are the redeemed of Christ. It says, speaking to yourselves, it says, speaking to one another, in psalms and hymns, in spiritual song singing, and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord, addressed to the church at Ephesus. We know over in Ephesians 19 and 4, they were first baptized into a John's baptism, but then when Paul came and preached unto them Christ, they were baptized and added to the body of Christ. Ephesians 19 gives you a whole readout of they were carried away with dumb idols. They were into Aphrodite, the sex goddess, and all these perverse things that the world have to offer you and to lead you astray with. But in Christ Jesus, they were the redeemed. They are the redeemed of God. We pray here in the Church of Christ according to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 18th verse. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to these ends which are preserved in supplication for all the saints. We are a praying church. We believe more so that God hears our prayers. Christ makes intercession on behalf of the saints. And so we are a praying church. We sing and we pray. Why? Because our Father has instructed us according to the word of God to do so. In our communing, according to Matthew 26 and 28, it tells us the institution of the Lord's Supper, according to that verse. According to Acts 20 and 7, it tells us when to commune, the first day of the week. According to 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 19, it tells the church how to. And so we don't take lightly the body or the blood of the Lord, because we are the redeemed, the church of Christ. Our giving, according to 1 Corinthians 16 and 1 through 3, and there are other scriptures, 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter and all, it deals with the giving, or how we're to give. From the first day of the week, it says, let every one of you lay by in store. God has blessed us, has he not? There will be no gathering when I come. This is the simplicity of letting you know the house you're in and what God requires of those who are redeemed of God and those who are on their way to heaven. Teaching, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go ye into all the world, preach this gospel to every living creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm just trying to give us, the church, more so an exhortation and a reflection on who you are. Sometimes as studied in the lesson this morning, people through the week will take your heart off of who you really are. They will try. But we are the redeemed of God. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as of silver, gold, for it says, from your vain conversations received by your fathers. We understand there's all kind of doctrines in this world that men have swayed more, still preaching and teaching out there. But the Church of Christ teaches the doctrine of Christ, which the Holy Spirit has revealed unto us. But with the precious blood, it says, of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We have the word of God with us now. There's no excuse to be redeemed. There's no excuse not to be redeemed. Because we are what? The church. The Spirit, Holy Spirit has been poured out in these last days. Galatians 3 and 13 tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For this it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. To understand, he has shed his blood, suffered, and died for the church, to establish his church. Ephesians 1 and 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abandoned, it says, wherein he have abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We've gone to scriptures and studied in our lessons, such as the book of James, that tells us to, if we lack wisdom, ask God, who giveth liberally to all men and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. We have the Holy Bible with us. We have the Word of God. I hope we take full advantage of understanding when he told Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We have God's Word with us. Ephesians 1 and 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Yes, we are the redeemed. But to stay redeemed, we must cling to the wisdom and get an understanding as to what God would have his children to do. In verse 20 it says, whom he which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. We have a Christ that is in heaven. Colossians 1 and 18 says Christ is head of the body, the church. And so we have a head that is in heaven now, this church, the redeemed. Ephesians 2 and 20 tells us, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 4 and 8. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he laid captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Aren't we blessed, the church? I like this. I'm giving us this first to build us up because we are the redeemed. We are the church of Christ. The beautiful thing about the book of Ephesians where I'm taking this lesson from is that it effectually points out the oneness of the church and that there's only one church that was established. It's very important to know that with this congregation. And according to Ephesians 4 and 4, it tells us, if we'll turn there if we will, Ephesians 4 chapter and start with the first verse, because he's speaking to the body of Christ, the believers, those who have been sanctified, set apart for spiritual use, in the body of Christ.
Therefore, my brothers,
my brethren, and sisters, thank you.
You whom I love and long
for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. I plead with, if you will be there, and I plead with Saint Church. Are we at 4 and starting at 1? Ephesians 4 starting with 1. That's okay. I have it right here. Nice try. I love that try because this is the church and we prove things, right? Ephesians 4 starting with verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye were called. Do you remember when you were called to serve the Lord? Redeemed? I want you to remember that because this lesson is going to take a little twist. And I don't want you to miss the twist because it's speaking to the church, the redeemed of God. Verse 2 said, with all lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's speaking to the church, the redeemed. And it says in verse 7 to conclude that, but unto every one of us is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. How blessed we are. Ephesians 1, 22, if you got that for me, brother. 1, starting at 22 to 23. Which reads, time for time's sake. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one what? Church, in which Christ is head over. Of course, I've said before, 1 Corinthians 3, I believe it is, in 11 says, there's no other foundation can be laid that which is laid. And so we're talking about the oneness of the church in the Ephesians letter. And this church, this letter is read. This is one of the epistles, which is a general epistle, really, read to all the churches in Asia Minor. But to this church particularly for a specific reason. Now, if you will, brother, and let's be expedient and direct about that, turn to Revelations, the second chapter. Starting at the first verse.
And the angel, to the angel of the church in Ephesus.
Yes.
These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden candles, the lampstands.
Yes.
I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance.
Yes.
I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Strong church. Doctrinal church. Read on. Yes, you have. You've endured hardships. Yes. Hold right there. The first love, the redeemed. What? Are we still talking about the same church? 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Let me tell you something about the church in Ephesians there. You know what they were called in Revelations? The loveless church. Oh, the what? They were called the loveless church, the body of Christ, the believers who were redeemed of God. When we do our good, do good, rather, I'm speaking to the church redeemed. Do your good to please God and not man. We are the redeemed of God. And God in heaven looks down upon you and knows the heart of man. Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds, it says, and this is Matthew 6, 1 through 2. Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2 says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. In the synagogues, Christ is speaking to his disciples, those who are following him. Listen to what I'm saying, redeemed. That they may have, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deeds may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. A wise thought from Proverbs 10 and 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin, church. The Ephesians letter tells us, Ephesians 4 and 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We expect to be forgiven of our trespasses and our sins because we have a loving Savior in heaven sitting on the right hand who shows empathy on our behalf because he came down in the flesh and suffered like we suffered, yet was found without sin. And when he ascended up on high, he laid captivity captive, and now he tells you to come before him that he may offer up praises on your behalf. Tell him what's going on so he can forgive you of your sins. Erase them. Galatians 5 and 26 says, let us not become deceitful, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, the church? The redeemed? We're speaking to the heart of the church, those who are redeemed and love God. All to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, 20, 24 says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Love keeps no account of evil, church. So if our heart is full of any envy or divisiveness, It has no place in the body of Christ if you are the redeemed. Walking in Christ's commandments, according to 2 John 4. He said, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandments from the Father. Some of us, not everybody's going to make it to heaven, church. I'm preaching that everybody who wants to the redeemed can and will, because God has not given his son to die that we be lost, but that we come to our, take a circumspective look at our lives under the word of God and repent and get it straight before it's eternally too late. No one in here is a goody two-shoe. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why we're here. Hopefully, that's why I'm here, to get it straight before it's eternally too late. Ephesians 5 and 14 says, wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We need not be ignorant of our sins and trespasses. We need to mortify them, put them to death, and come into the understanding of the will of God. James says, if you ask, you shall be given. He says, but don't ask wavering. For if we ask wavering, we're tossed to and fro like the waves of the sea. And let not that man, speaking individually to the individual who is seeking and understands he needs to know God's will, if he wavers, don't think he's going to receive anything of God. And just like we studied in our lesson this morning, they come in and they grow up in the church. Some of them will come in from the outside and we think we know who it is. Look at yourself. Take a circumspective look and be sure you're not the one that's going to what? Hebrews 10:25. Do we know what that says? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Because when we do these things and do it intentionally, we've cast down the blood of Christ, which is the redemptive blood that purchased the church, and we count it as nothing. And so we will receive nothing of God. Ephesians 6:23-24. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. We need to check ourselves on a daily basis to see if we're sincere about working out our soul salvation. If we are the redeemed, the church of Christ, the ones who are heaven bound, the ones who are going to be, what, the salt of the earth. You know, time is so short. I've been here at this congregation just, what, a year maybe, and we've already had 3 deaths already, and one very abruptly, our beloved brother Miles. It touched my heart greatly. But it put into me the fear of God to understand that we're on time's side of life now. We can do something about it. We are the redeemed of God. We can do something about it now. Matthew 24:26 says, but about that day or the hour, no man knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of God. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. He said, it won't be water, but fire next time. This is real, church. I'm preaching to you so you won't get trapped up in the entrapments of this world and think anything is greater than the body of Christ, Christ's church on earth. Tomorrow's not promised us. We need to get it right now. You haven't got another minute. You haven't got another day. God can snap you out of here just like take your breath out of you, and you're just an empty dust going back to the ground. Revelations 22:12-17 says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done, church. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, beginning and the end. Blessed are all these who wash their robes, it says, that they may have their right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Let me tell you something outside. Outside of the church, this is what you got. Verse 15 of Revelation 22. Outside are dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the adulterers. It says, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. What do we turn into? To who else do we go? That is the words of life. Where do we go? Seeking a refuge for our souls. Just sang the song. Where do we go? We need to be more faithful in this redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. We need to prove it by our actions. Last but not least, to be timely about this sermon. Just want to extend the invitation to those who have not found the church yet and want to know, want a church home, and want to understand. You need to know that there's only one church that's been established on the face of the earth, universally, in which Christ died for with his blood. And I hope you've heard that in this sermon, which is the Church of Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is not a denomination. It is not something down from. When you read these scriptures, it's whole. Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Singular personal pronoun. Don't fool yourself into thinking that there's something out there greater or other than the Church of Christ. Because it's doctrinally sound. If it goes by some other name, it belongs to somebody else. You've been raised up in the church, and you're starting to doubt now. You're in an area of your life where Satan is pulling on you from, and believe me, Satan will pull. Scripture says, I once was young and now I'm old. He says, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. It's time to what? Walk righteously, walk upright and justified by the word of God. No matter what age you are, you need to commit your life to Christ. No matter where you are right now, Christ, the Spirit is still being poured out. Let's finish reading the rest of Revelation for me, if you will, real quick. I'll finish reading it. Starting in Revelations 2 and 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time to turn around from the weak and the beggarly elements of the world. Now it's time to turn around from, you might not be out there practicing that. You just might be into something that ain't of God and cannot save you. The church's doors are open because now is the acceptable time for you to be saved. Scripture says faith comes by hearing. If you have the teaching, if you want to be taught, you're in the right place to be taught how to be saved. We need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who died for our sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know where that is, right? John what? John what? 3:16, church. What does 17 say? For God sent his Son not into the world to destroy the world, but the world through him might be saved. What does John 18 say, church? He says, some are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Christ has his name on his church. They are the redeemed of God. We're going to stand, sing the song of the invitation. And now the invitation is extended. Come whosoever will. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized.
353. Section 353.